I actually opened my eyes and I saw myself in the midst of these extraterrestrials.
Hot topics.
Hot topics.
Fascinating guests.
Fascinating guests.
Your calls and emails.
Your calls and emails.
Totally interactive radio. Live from Ottawa, Canada, the nation's capital, this is ICAST.
ICAST.
The intelligent radio broadcast on NMD Live. Food for your brain. Fun for your soul. So stop surfing and start listening. Intelligent Radio is now on the air. Here is your host, Norman Michael Burkett.
Good evening and welcome to the December 22nd edition of ICAST, the intelligent radio broadcast here on NMB Live, commercial-free and always in style. Well, this is our second last show of 2002, and we've got a good one for you tonight. We are bringing you two guests this evening, the first of which is ghost hunter Patrick Cross, and Patrick will join us in just a few minutes. Coming up in Hour 2, fellow Live 365 broadcaster Chris Joseph. If you're joining us for the first time this evening, we welcome you to the show, and we encourage you to complete our listener demographics so we know where you're listening from. Now, you don't need to leave your name or email address either, so it's quick and painless, and you can do that on our website at www.nmblive.com. Now, just before I introduce our first guest, a quick reminder about next week, which is Sunday, December 29th on ICAST. It's our post-Christmas, pre-New Year's show featuring great holiday music, stories to warm the heart, open lines for you to share your Christmas memories, past and present, of course. Plenty of eggnog and good old Christmas cheer. I've even heard through the grapevine that Santa himself will be phoning in for a quick interview. And that's next Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, December 29th. Okay, up next, ghost hunter Patrick Cross. And that said, we'll return after this brief musical interlude. Stay with us. All right, a little bit about my guest this evening in Hour 1. Patrick Cross has been investigating and researching ghosts for the last 15 years. He grew up in a haunted home with as many as 12 ghosts and spirits. Patrick currently lectures on ghosts and is called upon by the media for paranormal information, ghost investigations, and psychic help in clearing ghosts and spirits. He is considered one of Canada's top authorities on the subject of ghosts, paranormal activity, and the supernatural. Having a degree in psychology and police sciences, Patrick is also the director of the Burlington Ghost Walks and Tours, which he conducts a two-hour walk on the hauntings of Burlington history and ghostly folklore of Burlington, Ontario. And with that, we'd like to welcome Patrick to the show. Welcome, Patrick.
Yes, hi. How are you tonight?
I'm terrific. How are you?
Not too bad for Christmas coming up.
Yes. Yeah, it's a hurried time of the year, isn't it?
Different time of spooks, I guess.
Yeah. I got to ask you this. Your bio mentions that you've been dealing basically with ghosts since your childhood.
Right. Although yeah. I didn't get paid when I was 6 years old to look for ghosts. But, yeah, I have been, I had experienced it off and on all through childhood, all through my teens, and then I kind of, like, just tried to get rid of it for a while because, you know, you have to look for a real career.
Yeah.
And then more or less fell back into it again about 10 years later. And now I do this like semi-full time almost.
Wow. So now, when did you ever want to sort of get away from it? You did come back to it. I'm wondering if that was a conscious decision or you just felt that that was the way you had to go.
It's like a love-hate relationship. If you like something a lot after you've understood it, and then you keep doing it and you keep going back for it, not necessarily the essence of it, but it becomes like a high. I don't know. This will probably relate to more ghost hunters or people who are actually looking for ghosts, who like that kind of thing, running around chasing things in the middle of the night and all over the place. You get it's an exhilarating experience to actually see something and see something happening, and that's why most people are just so fascinated with it after the experience that they really realize that ghosts can't really hurt you.
Yeah. Yeah, I recall, actually, and you're just talking about this now, spending many a nights as a youngster, taking things like tape recorders into graveyards and having the guts to sit there and then seeing something move in the corner of your eye and we just gunned it out of there.
Exactly. I mean, most people can't stand in a pitch black room for not only in a cemetery with the lights off and not freak out, of course. So it is interesting, but at the same point, I mostly do it for the sake of the research and educating people.
Right.
And helping people out. That's not so much the thrill, not so much the money, but it's the actual why it's happening and why it's going on.
Yeah. Now, in a nutshell, and this is a tough question, I guess, but in a nutshell, why is it happening?
Well, that's a really good question because as we live in this dimension, time and space, walk around every day, living our daily lives, eating, sleeping. And then when something happens that was totally beyond our comprehension, we try to explain it, mentally, physically, theoretically. And then when it happens and we keep doing this and things keep happening and it freaks somebody out, we always have to be comfortable with ourselves to understand something. Like if the kettle's boiling, we know that is going to boil.
Right.
If a bird flies out of the cage, we know that bird is going to fly. So everything has to be in our minds a theory that has to be explained. And when something doesn't explain it, we all freak out because our minds cannot understand it.
That's right, yeah.
So there's a whole different theory. Then our other emotions come into place, fear, emptiness, scared, all kinds of things can come in, and our minds playing tricks on us, of course. And running around and we're just imagining all these things that we saw on TV maybe 10 years ago, all in one instance.
Hmm. So your, like you said before, your job is really educating people then, and saying it's not all like Hollywood portrays.
No, it's not. I mean, this is the big problem now. Again, for years, the Hollywood media, especially movies, would, have all kinds of things ever since Ghostbusters came out. Giant fireballs and monsters and all these things come out of midair and dimensions we don't even think of. And it all looks great and cool, but really, in real life, you're standing around looking for ghosts. It's pretty boring staying with a Tim Hortons coffee, walking around looking for things that aren't there.
Yeah.
And then your question of sanity and people asking, what are you doing, pointing to things in the air, which you always think you're talking to yourself. So there's that whole, it doesn't at all look like what it is on TV. Of course, TV makes a lot of drama out of it. The newest show, I guess, Fear Factor, and all these things try to portray the fear and the boogeyman in the bed, kind of speak. But that doesn't really most of the time happen. I mean, there are instances, yes, that we cannot explain. But for the most part, 75% is explainable.
Is it a connect? I mean, I've got tons of questions, but the ghosts that you mostly deal with, is there a connection between us, this plane, and like past lives? Is it mostly a past life thing you're looking at, or is that an odd question to ask? Because it could be anything.
Question too, because there's so many theories, and then I'll also get into the theory of about this whole thing when we die and we go to heaven thing. I'll get into that too, because what we, from the time we're children to the time we grow up, we're envisioning this perfect life. We go to school, we get educated, we get jobs. We have no sense of being that it's. Society says you're going to be a great, mystical person. You're going to be a great healer. There's no sense of that. There's no, there's just the sense, go home, get a trade.
Right.
So when you start discovering yourself and the psychic abilities that you have, it's a whole new awakening because, hey, nobody told me about this. There's no course on psychic abilities or chakras and all this stuff. And then you find other people experiencing that and maybe out-of-body experiences and seeing things and all this. And then you get a whole group, and their question now is basically, well, why didn't my parents speak of this? Why didn't I go to school for this? Why do they have these feelings of, okay, I'm fearing fire, I'm fearing drowning. Why do these past images come into my mind? So there is a past life maybe connection, mm-hmm. or that person we don't know is maybe seeing their past through the current time phase as it is, looking at their past in their own life of what they were and how they can, you know, better improve on that. We don't know. Or coming back as a ghost or a person from that time period with all the qualities intact and then... you know, trying to understand where they're coming from.
Well, that's fascinating. Are you saying then one of the possibilities that you've entertained is that possibly we're seeing ourselves from a past life?
Right.
Wow.
Which a lot of people have. They've actually seen, okay, if they were a perfect example, people who died on the Titanic. I've talked to many people who claim they knew the date, they knew the time, they knew who they were, they knew what they were wearing. They describe all the feelings of how they died. So many people have come back in different instances and saying, well, how would I have known that? Or how did I know this language? Or how did I speak fluent, you know, Celtic when I didn't ever learn it? Or train in Hindu or something. So there's even the connection of some people who have been from Atlantis, which doesn't exist, but people say it exists.
Right.
So again, we don't know. I think we're being trained, you know, for each life we go through. We're being trained to better ourselves in the next life. And it all comes back down to the Egyptians, believe it or not. The Egyptians were the ones who basically said that the 12 oracles of life, that you go through the 12 phases that you go through that as a person 12 times before you get to the higher level and you pass on as a higher entity, higher spirit. Otherwise, you remain here.
Okay.
So that's been written... by many people who are philosophers, and you can go through the history books and find that out. But the Egyptians were the first to really lay all that down, and they were the first to actually say there was a heaven and a hell. You know, and the way they got people to work was they made up all these things that would say, okay, we're going to make up an entity, and we're going to make up all these gods, and if you're really a bad person, well, all these gods are going to get you, we're going to put you in hell. But that whole theory, you know, the hell doesn't make sense, because if you're a ghost, okay, their ghosts are not we're not vulnerable to fire. We're not vulnerable to water. We're not vulnerable to be drowning. How could we be burning in hell? How could we be drowning in these depths that everybody says when we're a ghost and the ghosts can freely go where they want? How can we be burning with sulfur when sulfur is not existent if we're dead?
Uh-huh. Interesting question.
So yeah. That whole theory... Okay, well, if somebody dies, well, we're either going to go to heaven or hell. Well, how do we know that? Like most cases, I've talked to ghosts or people who have died. That's what we call a ghost, okay, a person who has died and passed
right.
on.
Right.
Well, now they're all upset because they didn't pass on anywhere. They're stuck in a dimension. They don't know where they are. And now they're more upset because they don't know why God didn't send them anywhere. So the whole theory of, well, I'm, you know, a good person, I go to church, I died. Now I'm stuck here, and now I'm not even going to heaven. I'm not even going to hell.
So there's something that they need to complete then.
So they have to, yes. They're either unfinished business in their life as they were, or they're stuck here for some reason or tragedy that they can't go on. Other ghosts or other people can pass on. Why? We don't know why that is. Why some are stuck here and why some can't. Or why some go on and have a great time and some come back and are stuck here all upset or more upset because they can't leave.
Wow.
Again, the typical thing is if someone kills themselves, okay, as a ghost or even in the Bible, it says if you kill yourself, you are damned to eternity that you can't leave. You are, you know, earthbound and you will never go anywhere. You're stuck somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so many theories, but in the case when in a lot of investigations that we have talked to, as far as what I mean talking to psychically, we can actually get impressions of that person who had died. We can hear them, or I can hear them. I'm clairvoyant. I've basically developed this ability where I can see, hear, and talk to ghosts.
Okay.
Where they're telling me that, you know, why they're dead and they can't move on or what has happened or they're they're so attached to the place they are right now that they don't want to leave. And they're so adamant on staying there that they have to stay there. They're in their surroundings, and, you know, they're not going to go.
So they actually can choose.
Right, many times they can choose. We can say we have to, like, coax them to say, well, there's the light. Do you see the light? And they say, yes, we see the light. We see this ethereal energy that they can go to, which is the next level of spirit energy. And they don't know, you know, they want to stay there where they're more comfortable. So they're even scared to go to that energy, to that light.
As a ghost, they're still, they carry their fear, perhaps.
Exactly. So if they're a ghost, why would they have feelings of all the things that we have in life? And the answer to that is, of course, now we know that most people who have died carry all your characteristics with you when you die.
Yeah.
So you have fear, you have hate, you have emotions, you have crying, you have abilities that you would in real life, only you're in spirit form.
And this is a theory that I've heard before, and it fascinated me, the fact that we just take who we are and we bring that to the next level.
Right.
Yeah.
But again, it's like, why, if we're intact energy-wise, then we should be able to move on and go to wherever to better ourselves. Obviously, that's the whole idea. But then, you know, you get people like who have been killed or tragically killed, like Catherine the Great, who was the eighth wife of Henry VIII, and she was beheaded. Now, she's still running around Chalice Castle, screaming and screeching, and people have seen her looking for her head. So that tragedy, she died. She was on a revenge thing. She's still there after, 300 or 400 years.
Yeah.
People have seen her and heard her, and the castle actually calls in Ghostbusters every month to, you know, calm it down and close all the doors and do the blessings and everything. It's just fantastic.
So obviously by choice, she's remaining. To
Right. Now, again, we assume that if this has happened to her, okay, and there could be a better life where she goes on, why is she still running around looking for her head and just screeching and wanting revenge? But she's replaying the whole areas where she was. She's not going outside. She's not going looking for a horse. She's not obviously baking. She's, you know, she's doing the same thing what happened in her life that people have seen her ring, the ring that was used for all the seals of the documents of that time from the castle that she would use with Henry VIII. So again, what is the motive? Why is there the revenge there? And people have said to her, you can go on, you're dead, which is really what you would say if you met up with a ghost.
Wow, that is amazing stuff.
Yeah, and then again, people see ghost trains, people see ghost ships, actual trains, actual ships, actual metallic things that are inanimate objects would appear. Not necessarily all over the world, all over the place, where people have seen a ship or seen something, hearing it, and then it disappears.
And this happens everywhere. Like, there's no...
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, you get, like, Halifax, places where they had in the old days, or Newfoundland, where there were a lot of pirates, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of wars, so people see this all the time. They actually see the men, the crew, the detail, the ships, and, you know, appearing and hearing them running around and doing all the things, I guess, they would do, cannons blasting, all that kind of thing.
And does it amaze you that there are still some people out there, Patrick, who look at this whole topic and say, no, it's just a bunch of malarkey? Does that amaze you that there are still people like that?
Okay, like, again, this is the way I say it. If you're a skeptic, I'm not going to argue with a skeptic, okay? The only way you can win an argument with that is to say, when it happens to you and you alone and you see it, you feel it, and you've been there.
Mm-hmm.
Only you are going to know that it happened, and nobody else is going to believe you. So that's what I say. I mean,
yeah.
I was a skeptic for a long time. When things that I just write off, if I didn't see it and I didn't believe it, and I always put a theory to it. Well, why is this happening? And it could possibly happen, and why wouldn't it? But, you know, most of the time, most people who are skeptical or have a negative mind or influence don't see anything. They say, well, how come I see ghosts and they don't? Well, that's a great question, because I go and investigate. I have an open mind. I look for places that are haunted. Of course, I'm not going to go find it at, you know, Kelsey's Bar. I'm going
to
start looking at a place where there was a history attached, like a church, or a place where it was built someplace before where there might have been a family or a murder or La Donnelly's or anything of that nature.
Right. How haunted is Burlington? Because you do these ghost walks in Burlington.
Right, right. Well, Burlington, yeah. Ontario, it's a great tourist place. It's a little town that's grown, but it is very haunted. It has a history of settlers. Robert Bateman grew up here. He lived here.
Okay.
It was also home to Terry Boyle, the Canadian author, who's written the book Haunted Ontario. He's a good friend of mine. And it's just a great little town that has a history where things have happened. There was a lot of activity, soldiers. It was a great settlement town. And they've had their share of ghosts, which has been documented on Creepy Canada, which I was on a new series with CTV Discovery Channel.
Okay, and was this recent?
Yeah. It's going to be on again starting January 6th on Discovery Channel.
And it's called Creepy Canada.
Canada. It was originally on the Travel Channel with CTV, and it's now going to be on CTV bought it again or is re-airing it with Discovery. And it has 23 episodes of everywhere of Canada, which is haunted. And ours is episode 4, sorry, which is Emma's Back Porch, which is a 1800s type of restaurant going back to those days that is haunted by the actual woman who ran it, named Emma Byrons.
Okay.
So Creepy Canada, it's a great show. It has all about the legends and myths of the ghosts, and they have actors that reenact the people in it and that kind of thing. So it's a really creepy, fun show. It's great for people who want to watch it.
Wow, that's cool. Now, did you have something to do with the production of this show? Or?
Well, I should say associate producer with and a host or speaker for our segment called Emma's Back Porch.
Right.
But I put in, content to help them out. But I have been consulting on different movies, different major releases, shall I say, The Sixth Sense, things like that, where people would, look to you, okay, well, we got to get some real evidence here. Nowadays, it's based on everything is real. It used to be everything was made up.
Right.
But people want reality, and they want to get the truth, get to the truth of the matter.
Now, Patrick, taking that that step toward that direction of truth rather than not, do you ever find that people say, well, quite honestly, the truth is not as exciting as we could make it in fiction?
Yeah, exactly, sure. I mean, any story worth its salt, I guess, that has a history and a legend can, you're going to show the highlights of it as opposed to just how boring it is. On a day-to-day basis, I get everything is boring. But when everything was settling and everything was developing in this country, sure, there was a lot of activity for stories and new things and new ideas. So now it seems like it's all old hat because everything is, more or less invented. You don't go out and chop wood anymore. You don't go out to run horses down the street. So it's so instant. I think we lost track of that whole being of, going out a whole day and working.
Yeah,
that's what I love about the history, is the fact that these people slave, they put sweat into it. You just don't turn on a light bulb. You had to go around with a candle and get the oil and all that stuff.
Yeah, there was work to pretty much everything back then.
You had to work to work. You had to work to sleep when you worked and get up and everything. So if you had a family, you had to go and, grow fruit or a farm or you were out fighting. Not like it is nowadays. You come home, you watch TV.
Yeah.
The whole instant thing is I should say life is commercialized to the point we don't have to do anything anymore. And that's the sad thing, because we don't look at our roots. We don't look at how much we put into the exhilaration of what we've done to build things from the time period. You talk to most people, they don't know how to build a box. They don't know how to build, a stairwell. They don't know how to build because they've never been trained. But if they got into it, I'm sure they'd probably like that kind of work, carpentry or something.
Yeah. And they'd find out how resourceful they really were.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, when it's handed to you and you go to the Home Depot, oh, buy this, buy that. Well, that's great, but, people are always looking for that next thing, but why not, take the initiative, how was this developed, how was it built?
Yeah. So
I would rather, to me, I'm probably stuck in time. I would rather be back in the 1700s or 1800s than now. I find it would have been more exhilarating. A hard life, but it would have been, you would have really got into the meat and grind of anything that was going. You'd see steamships. You'd see all that hustle and bustle in those days.
And the blood, sweat, and tears.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow. Now, you said you've done some major pictures. I guess some people use you as a consultant for that, again, that reality aspect of what it's like.
Right.
Any titles that we might recognize? Did you say The Sixth Sense?
Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
Earlier reports, I guess, before it developed into a show thing was in Amityville. When, I mean, they had the real facts before it became, like, suspenseful and not believable.
Mm-hmm.
Different documentaries in London, England, different ghost stories. What else was a movie? Input into Dragonfly, which was Kevin Costner, things like that.
Yeah.
Where they're looking to ask to say, okay, what really happens when a ghost happens? What are the feelings? What are we generating? Are we just generating a life? Or are we generating somebody who lived and died? Like the Titanic was a great movie because there was so much emotion. There was so much. You were seeing the person as a spirit, most energy than you would as a person. Because it was just people walking around a ship and they lived and they died, but you saw the love, you saw the emotion. So that's what now movies are trying to bring out. And I think when they're trying to capture that instance with ghosts, reenacting the person's life and what they were like, and if somebody was very prominent, how were they and what were they like? I think people have a fascination for that.
It sounds like an awesome experience to be a part of something like that, to bring your expertise. When we come back, we're going to take a short break, Patrick.
Okay.
I want to ask you a little bit about your degrees in psychology and police sciences, because I'm also fascinated about that, and obviously that must lend itself to what you do.
Right.
So, terrific. We'll ask you to just hang on there for a second, and we'll be back in just a moment with more of Patrick Cross, hailed as one of Canada's top ghost hunters, if not the top. And we'll be back to talk with him in just a sec. Stay right where you are. Stay right where you are. ICAST will return shortly with more intelligent radio. You can email us your questions and comments right now. Send them to ICAST@nmblive.com. We'll return to the program after this. Now, aren't you glad you didn't watch that made-for-TV movie?
Well, we're going, we don't need roads.
You are listening to ICAST, the intelligent radio broadcast on NMB Live. You can email us your questions and comments right now. Send them to icast@nmblive.com. Once again, your host is Norman Michael Burketta. Well, we welcome back to our second segment, Patrick Cross, ghost hunter and paranormal researcher. And again, in your bio, Patrick had mentioned that you have a degree in psychology and police sciences, and I'm dying to find out more about that and how it relates to what you do.
Okay, well, first of all, I didn't anticipate doing ghosts with psychology.
Okay.
And very rarely do they truly talk about it. Psychology is really a people thing, of course. When we talk about parapsychology is really the science, or as people say, the pseudoscience of the unknown, the unexplained, the things that we just can, we're just totally bedazzled about, that we have to scratch our heads and figure what it is. And dealing with parapsychology is there is real no course in life for taking a parapsychology course. There is a courses that offer you, like myself, we teach courses on how to research ghosts and all the evidence that portrays looking for ghosts, or that we can assume that ghosts exist.
Right.
But at the same time, there is no real course other than just being psychologist. You can't run around and, you know, start busting ghosts and start charging thousands of dollars kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm more considered, I call it a researcher historically, or a ghost researcher, or when there's paranormal activity happening.
Right.
But the police science is only in the last couple of years now have they been, the police have delved into the science of DNA, which is a fascinating theory, and the whole thing that helps catch criminals and crooks, for murders and things that they did. So the DNA side is the actual, again, testing of body fluids and things dealing with people who have died. Of course, it's all biology related. But they do, the course itself trains you how to be, there is some psychology involved, how to deal with people who are emotionally, I guess, not there.
Right, right.
Challenged, shall we say, if they're going trying to kill someone. So that whole theory, you're walking into a situation or incident where somebody's got a knife on you or a gun. So that whole psychology is the fear and what brings out what you have to do and how do you react.
Yeah.
Again, you have to understand that reaction to understand the opposite now that when somebody's dead, and you have to understand the psychology of how the person is reacting when there's a ghost, if there is a ghost. And what I really stress that, if there is a ghost, because our minds are so powerful, we can mimic ghosts. Our own psi, our own psychokinesis can mimic an actual ghost and all the things that can happen. Like we can move glasses with our mind, we can move tabletops, we can move things all over the place. Our energy, our minds are so powerful that we can throw things to make it look like a ghost threw that against the wall. So that whole psi, is it really happening? Is the energy pent up? Is it making that person or the anger? Is there a whole thing going on that energy has to go somewhere, and it usually does? that it will start things to come on or, you know, turn on and off.
And how do you differentiate that? How would you walk into a situation and know whether that's the person's own energy or if it was, in fact...
We have to find out, you do some history, do the background, what kind of person it is.
Right.
Or is it a family? Are they having a divorce? Are they having family problems? Or is there always argument? Is there a lot of stress, a lot of marital problems? That can bring in negative energy. When we bring in negative energy, we can cause things to happen. We can actually cause ghosts to come through because we're lowering our whole barrier, our whole self-defense, that we can cause energy and bad spirits to actually come through and take over and start doing things. Our resistance is down, and we're just ready to hammer anything out there.
Yeah. Can that also result in physical ailments as well?
Right.
It can.
Right. So, again, that's what you have to define. Is the person in their right mind? Are they actually making up things? Or did they watch a movie 2 weeks ago and now they're repeating that movie subconsciously in their minds? Are they doing this at night? Are they doing it in day? If there's a scene where somebody drops a coffee with a table, is that person continually doing it? Or is there a ghost doing it even when nobody's in the house? Is something going on? That's how we can differentiate. If we can capture the evidence with cameras, with photographs, with nobody there, or with witnesses, or does it only happen when the person is there? You know, that kind of thing. There's so many instances. We're trying to develop, to analyze the psychology of the incident, why it is actually happening.
Right. Right. When you're doing this, when you're trying to make this distinction and you're doing, you know, your research, what are some of the biggest challenges that face you?
Well, I guess, yeah, that's a good question, because they believe it. They're hanging on to you. They're freaking out because they're saying, there's a ghost in there, and they're trying to they're coming to anybody who will believe them, of course. So you're almost like they're godsend,
right,
and they're looking at you for results. And are you going to give them the results, or are you going to say, no, you're totally crazy, this doesn't happen, and they know they did. So you get instances where, well, we have seen things move, okay, that we can't explain. We've seen pictures moving all over the place upside down. We've seen beer cans moving in midair. So, yes, there is activity, and is it related to that person, and why is it happening? If they all left in the room, would it still go on, or would it follow that person, or what is causing it? And that's the whole, there is always a reason. Okay, that's the main thing I start. There is always a reason why it's happening. Why didn't it happen 6 months ago? Why is it happening now?
Right.
And then what can we do to resolve that? And then can we get rid of it? Can we clear the ghosts? Can we stop it from going on? Can we send them on their way? And yes, most of the time we can send ghosts on their way. We can talk to them and talk to them like a person, and they will leave.
Okay, explain that to me a little bit, because I'm you can just talk to them and reason with them.
You're sitting on your chair and you've been hit or actually fallen off the chair or pushed off the chair, and this happens all the time, and you have enough people witnessing it and seeing it, and then things start moving. And we now know that, okay, the person isn't doing it, and it's happening all the time. You have to first not only use the psychology approach, okay, calming this person down, and then, you know, going through the steps. Is it happening all day and night when they sleep? And then now you're going to talk to the ghost or try to understand why it's happening. Was it a family or was it a relative who just died? Is it somebody who was close to them? Was it their mother? And if it is, why are they doing this to this person? For what reason? Did the person die, you know, tragically, or did they die because they want to get a message across? And most times the ghosts want to get a message across. The spirits are leaving a message because they've been thrown out of their bodies, they're killed, and they're dead, and they don't know they're dead, and they want to get attention to say, well, hey, we're here, we're dead now, and, you know, we're trying to get some information from people who are living, and they see everything as we see them in their own dimension, as far as we know.
Yeah. Wow.
And then talking to them and finding out, okay, by means of talking, we can record them on tape, or clairvoyant, what I mean is, psychically, you just pick it up, you can hear it in your head, but I mean, anybody can do this. It's not a trick. It's not saying, well, you're psychic and I'm not. You just have to be developed and in tune with it. If you ask it to come in, it will come in.
Right.
But then, again, you can bring in bad spirits, too, so that's not the greatest thing to do.
So you should know what you're doing.
Can't just say, great, I'm going to contact spirits and then have them all come in, and, you know, you start having a party in your body there.
Yeah.
Well, that wouldn't be too good.
No, no.
But, yeah, it's... and then verifying, yeah, like I usually work with a team, so verifying, yes, is there ghosts here? Yes, there are pictures here. Is there a sound on tape? And most of the time I can talk to them and record them on tape.
And these are EVPs you're talking
EVPs,
about?
EVPs, electronic voice phenomena.
Right.
Which is the actual understanding where you're recording something and something is playing over on top of what you've been talking. So it's on top of your voice.
Yeah.
And most of the time it's a message. Most of the time it's reversed because their dimension is reversed. If you look in a mirror with writing on a mirror and it's reversed, so everything is reversed and you play it backwards, it plays frontwards.
I've never heard about that before.
Yeah, so if you take a message where a ghost has said something or heard a voice and you play it backwards, it will play frontwards and they'll tell you most of the time it says it frontwards, what it's supposed to be saying, not backwards.
Huh.
Most of the time it's like another dimension saying it backwards. So you hear a slur and you hear all kinds of weird things.
My goodness.
My forte, I guess, is EVP. So I have over, like, about 200 or 300 of them.
Seriously?
And they're on my website as well as on my Ghost CD, too.
That would, because you know what, that would, in hindsight, that would have been a great thing to play.
Yeah, I should have mentioned that. You can, you know, if anybody wants to go to the website, they can check that out. And there are a few on there that are nice and chosen ones anyway.
Okay, let's talk about your website for a second. Can you give us the address?
It's a little lengthy, but
okay.
You can also punch up Patrick Cross Ghosts anywhere at a search engine, and it'll come up to my page. We get about 5,000-6,000 hits a day now.
Fantastic.
And if you type in www.globalserve.net, that's all one word,
yeah.
/tilde, which is a squiggly line,
yeah.
sci-fi/latestnews.htm, you'll find us there. And then the main page is Burlington Ghost Researchers and Ghost Walk. So we do a two-hour ghost walk of Burlington that I conduct, and we usually get about 30, 40 people out every Friday and Saturday night.
Well, that must be fascinating.
Which, again, yeah. This is not now because it's pretty well the season's over. It's pretty cold out. But we go to all the haunted places, and people have seen things on the tour, and I do the whole history. We call it 200 years in 2 hours. And it's fascinating. It's just I've done over 2 years of research, including local paper reports and all the information, that people have seen things and hear things on tour.
When does the season start up again?
Start up again in June.
In June.
June 1st, and for mostly tourism, and we get people from all over Canada, the U.S. here. And it's a two-hour tour. It's $10 for adults, $2 for children. Friday, Saturday nights, we start at Emma's Back Porch. And we go to all the places, and it's fun. We go to all the places in Burlington that are haunted, and a lot of people get spooked. They don't even end up at the end of the tour. They actually run away.
Oh, really?
Because they have seen and heard things. People have been pushed, shoved. We have a haunted statue here in Burlington that actually moves. Its hands move on the rifle.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and we've captured that and documented it by many people who have seen this. So the legend now goes is that by the end of the month, at 12 midnight, the first of the month, the statue actually shifts its hands on the rifle.
Oh, okay, now I'm getting spooked here.
And people have seen this. And we stood out there last month, and we're running around like crazy.
Yeah.
And you get a big crowd now at the end of the month, and cops come down, and the police, and the ambulance, just to watch this event happen. And last month, when it was going into December, 12:07 approximately, it moved, shifted, and its eyes actually opened this time. So we got that on tape, which was great, and we got that on pictures, and I have it on pictures as well.
I have got to come down and see you and take this tour.
And it's just phenomenal. It's great, and we have a lot of fun, but we promote mostly the history. Okay, what has happened here, as well as growing up in Burlington and from the 1700s and the activity, because we had a lot of. The regiments were here. The British soldiers were fighting the Americans up in Fort George.
Mm-hmm.
So you had a lot of activity with the settlers and the pioneers in those days.
And so with the activity, of course, comes the death, which
right.
translates
you find
into ghosts.
There's a lot of
yeah.
soldiers here. A lot of people are still fighting. You hear wagon wheels. You hear horses. You hear people yelling, stand there. You You have different war periods. You have the time period when the Mohawks were here, the Ojibwe Indians were settling Ontario, and then you have the time period when it went into World War II. So you have those guys that are here too that went from Burlington to fight into the war. And you have them marching, and that's what you hear around the statue. You hear marching, and the actual soldier or the statue is the entity, the ghost that's in it is Albert Johnson, and he is the actual entity that takes up the statue, who lived and died here on World War One. And he is the ghost that's there, and he has said many times that he lived and died a hero, and he won a Purple Heart in the war. And this is true in the history books, and people will find that. And it's just fascinating that he is the ghost that's in the statue that's causing a totally non-movable bronze statue to move.
and he does not want to leave.
No, he still thinks he's fighting, and he's telling everybody he wants to be known he lived a hero and he died a hero.
So he's getting the message out.
Yep, and people have sworn they've been hit in the head by, or hit, or moved by a rifle butt, or pushed and heard marching going by and all this stuff. So it's fascinating.
That is. I'm going to have to come and see you and take this tour.
And, we have people all over Canada coming just to see this. And we have postcards, too, now, of course, which you can get, Burlington Ghost Walks.
Well, that's well. Now, you said some people don't last the whole tour.
No. I mean, the funny thing is we go to all the British pubs as well, because a lot of them are haunted by ghosts, and any good British pub will have a good ghost.
Okay.
Of course, one of the pubs is called the Dickens, and it doesn't have a ghost, so it's not a great pub anymore. And the reason for that is the ghost used to be there. It used to be a drunken ghost, and he left because there were so many bands playing in all the time. So the pub is not that great. So anyway, we end up going to all these pubs along the way, and by the time we get to the middle of the tour, people end up staying at the bars.
Uh-huh.
So they'll pay for the tour, and then they'll be so into the spirit of things that they want to stay in the bar. So we don't really get through the whole tour. Most people, on a nice summer or August day, I'm talking about beer and ale so much, and they end up staying there.
Right.
So
right.
It's quite interesting, and they do like people do that. But I guess that's if they do survive, starts off with 30 people, ends up maybe 10.
But the ones who go to the end, they get the whole thing.
Yeah, you get the whole thing. You get also Joseph Brandt Museum. We go there too, which is Joseph Brandt was the founder of this part of Ontario, one of the first colonial loyalists that came to Canada. Joseph Brandt established part of this part of Canada, and he went on to lead the Mohawks and the Indians to fight the Americans. He had a band of over 3,000, 5,000 Indians. So he's a very well-known Chief Joseph Brandt, who established part of Burlington and this part of Ontario.
Right. Fascinating stuff. About your website, I want to mention very quickly that if people didn't get the address, the other thing you can do as of tomorrow is you can go into the past guests section of nmblive.com and the iCast section, of course, and the link that was there will stay there. So people can always come here and click right to your website. Patrick.
Right. And we actually do go all over Canada, should mention this, and do investigate ghosts and do hauntings and help people out. So I travel everywhere. And our email is sci-fi@globalserve.net. So anybody who wants a serious consultation done or investigation, and don't be afraid, you're not crazy, because this is like an actual thing that goes on. I'm like a doctor, because this happens to many people all the time, but they're really scared, not who they're going to talk to.
So somebody gets in touch with you and thinks that they are having a situation with a ghost, they can hire you literally to...
Right, or I can consult them to a point to see, well, do this, do this, and do that. If it still goes on, then we can actually go and visit and help them out. But, I mean, I still do charge a fee. Mm-hmm. I consider it's a service, a professional. But the money we do make, we support the breast cancer support services, put money back into breast cancer research. We help out in the community a lot, so we aren't just charging and taking off. Because, if there is a ghost and there is something happening, how are you going to guarantee you're going to get rid of it? So we do try to get rid of it. 90% of them, they do go away, and we try different methods that have been proven that do work to get rid of a ghost.
And one of those methods you mentioned earlier was reasoning. Is that correct?
Right. Reasoning and understanding... why it's there, and what if this ghost is really there, and what it wants, and telling it to leave, and tell it to go on. I mean, there's a lot of restless spirits. There's a lot of ghosts that wander from house to house and say, hey, this is great. Let's check this place out. And then they come in and, you know, you might have something there that you never had before. You brought or you bought an antique clock or a picture. All of a sudden you have energy attached to it and there's a ghost.
Oh, I see. Okay, so it's come with the clock.
Right.
With
the object. Something that was in the past.
Right.
That now they brought in that they say, hey, I've got this great picture. Now it's got the energy attached to it. So a lot of things, the rings and all that kind of stuff that people buy at flea markets and antique shows, you got to be aware that it does have some kind of energy from a past owner. So you should really get that cleansed and clean the energy so that you can live with the energy of yourself being the owner on it.
Wow. And is that a difficult thing to do, to cleanse something?
Not really. You just got to... A good psychic will do this. You clean the energy of your spirit, clean the energy, and you can do that. And we even do that to people all the time to help out their energy. People have lost their jobs or have money problems and all that and don't know why. There's this black cloud over their head. And then you clean their energy or cleanse them, and they feel 10 times better. They're not getting sick anymore, and all things start happening for them.
Hmm.
So, yes.
Yeah.
I'm not that up on it because you've got to have some Reiki courses behind you and you've got to know how to do this. But I work with people who do, who are professional.
Right.
Who can actually clean your energy and help you out in spirit and guide and help you get on your way.
Any good books that you'd recommend on that?
Again, some great stories. Anybody can check these out in any of the Indigo or books. Our chapters is Terry Boyle's books, Haunted Ontario, Haunted Ontario 2, as well as John Robert Colombo. Has written books on Ontario ghosts and hauntings. And there's also a fascinating ghost book, if anybody's interested, in Troy Taylor's books from the U.S. He publishes them from Pennsylvania and the states down in the U.S. down there. And he's just a fascinating author, a lot of information if anybody's interested in that. Troy Taylor is with the International Ghost Hunting Society on our ghostweb.com in the U.S., and he's got some phenomenal books and he's a researcher as well. He goes all over the place.
Wow, fantastic. We've only got a couple of minutes left, Patrick. Can you tell us about the CD that you've got?
Yeah, it's a ghost CD, really a webpage-based photos, and it has over 60 authentic photos of ghosts and haunted places and pictures of entities and all that stuff that you can see, that you can actually, not just little orbs or ghost orbs or balls of light, but everything that's there, including interviews, sound recordings, EVPs, it's just phenomenal. We sell them for $12, and we just sell tons of them all the time. It's an interactive. You can go live to the website, and it has a lot of the interviews that I've been on and talk about and helping out people with ghosts, and it's just a great collector's item. If you're interested in finding out about ghosts and hauntings and running around and doing ghost investigating and being a ghost hunter.
Wow, that's cool. That is cool. Patrick, you know what? I appreciate you spending this hour with us tonight. And I would like to open the door and ask you to consider coming back again.
Sure.
And
anytime that listeners, have me or hear more stories and get into the theory of ghosts, sure. We teach courses on ghost research. We're probably the only course in Canada that's starting teaching courses through a college that will help people learn about it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Why don't we, I'm just thinking out loud here, but why don't we maybe schedule you for May? I'll get in touch with you.
Sure, And anybody at the same time can check out the website as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll catch up with you just before the season opens again, and we can give all that information out. And then, again, though, if anybody wants to get to Patrick's website again, just go to the past guests here on this website and just click on the link. It's active. It'll always be active. You can go right there. And Patrick, I want to again just say thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you for having me and sharing some theories and ideas, as well as some entertaining thoughts. I'll leave with saying happy hauntings, happy Christmas, happy New Year to everyone who's listening.
Awesome, and very Merry Christmas to you too, Patrick.
Great, thanks.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, take care.
All right. Patrick Cross, ladies and gentlemen, Canada's top ghost hunter.